Well, it was the Heitman Place, as I understood it.
Uh-huh.
And it was, how long? Maybe 35 feet or so.
Mm-hmm.
And it was quite closely akin to a real salmon, if you will. Mm-hmm. Well, if that wasn't rock hard, it was your soul. It was, but, as I recall, the if you were the fish, be on the starboard side, had the belly open.
Mm-hmm.
And it was kind of, as I recall, it was just kind of ramshackle and
made out of shingles,
gunky inside, and the color, it had been painted and so forth, and pretty easily did that job done, but by the time it got here, it was all faded.
Mm-hmm.
But, then it gradually deteriorated.
Mm-hmm.
And about that time, I think, it went from Heitman to Horges.
Mm-hmm.
And Horges was a hunting buddy of Dad's, as was Carl Sandburg.
Mm-hmm.
And Dad used to have blinds on the Lake Josephine, and they came up, and at one time when I was very young, well, he had live decoys, which are legal.
Mm-hmm.
And but the ducks didn't last for long, because they either got shot by the hunters, or the wild ducks gulled them away.
Mm.
And then it became illegal to have them in the first place. So.
Right.
Okay, you remember the goose bean story?
I remember the goose bean story.
Okay, Mr. Libby,
mm-hmm.
when we went out to do the sea trials on our boat,
mm-hmm.
one of the fellows' name was, what was his first name?
Nick
Libby.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, are you in relation to John Libby? He said, he's my dad. And I was just amazed.
Wow.
Yeah. So that was kind of cool. So then I was telling him the story, and he remembered the story of the goose beans because his dad had told him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I said, I always tell that story at school to the kids, you know, every May or so, and plant, I don't have any more goose bean seed, though.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, I suppose I could shuffle it off and say, give them some pinto beans, but, yeah. But the story's a neat story, but I was just amazed when this fellow, on our little bitty boat, and there were, what, four guys there,
yeah.
of all of them had to be the son of John Libby. Which is really kind of a very small world.
Acorns don't drop very far from the tree.
I guess they don't.
Do you have any more stories about island characters?
Oh,
the
Clarence story. Well, let me see.
I was off the young, and I don't recall the story, but some other dear friends of ours, the Atwoods, lived out here until about 36 or so, about
mm-hmm.
school time. Anyway, they lived in a cabin down on, I think it was on Oro Bay someplace, down by the Dahlgren place, or Uncle Tom's cabin, Tom Anderson's place out in that area. Anyway, it was owned by Steve Judson.
Mm-hmm.
And it was told that Steve Judson shot a man, dead, murdered him, for a wife's infidelity.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
But that happened long ago, and it was not very well publicized and so forth, but... I don't know, the Bugs, we called those two cars, was a high point. Ernie's machine shop was a high point.
Well, you have a funny story about Blue Gray Boy.
Oh.
Gray Boy was a horse.
Okay. I don't remember the folks' name. He was, the parents were loggers, as I recall, and it was when the island was being logged, particularly at the south end of Lake Josephine.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, they had this horse, and they had this, I must have been 9 or 10, something like that. And they had this little 5 or 6 year old kid that could shinny up the foreleg of this horse. I climb on, grab the mane, and race that sucker up and down any field that he wanted. Just absolutely incredible. And I thought, that's for me. I want a horse. You know, I don't kids are about that. No, I want a horse. Well, we connived and connived and connived and had to get Mrs. Hopkins' permission, and we had to make sure that she had no expense for feeding the horse and that and that and that. To make a long story short, we got the horse and the blanket and the saddle and the bridle and rode him up to the 5-acre field, which was fenced. We kept cattle in there, and there was a hay field, but once the hay was away, it was a hay field.
Mm-hmm.
And in the summertime. So anyway, oh boys, I got this horse. Could I make that horse run? Think again. Not a chance. The closest way I got that horse to run was to walk it down to the far end of the field, turn him around, and spray him real hard, and he'd run to the fence where he fed him.
And that was it.
That was it.
Tried to veer around the corner, clippity-clop. But there is a funny story. I went down to the store, down to Eric's, down at the Johnson Landing, and...
On the horse.
On the horse, of course. And so got there, and I don't know what I had to do, not important. Anyway, Ernie was a tease. You may have been told that before. Ernie Eric was a wonderful tease. Anyway, we got there, and he's chatting me because it was about time that I could start getting interested in machinery and things like that. And he says, well, Jerry, you better get a car. The horse is no good. It's a foolish old thing, and he's going to be ready the horse. Well, okay, Aaron, yeah. Mm-hmm. So then I had done my business, and then he drove by to make deliveries, and he kind of shout out to me, I better get a car, Jerry. Okay, Aaron. And he puts on up the hill and out of sight. And so here I come on Gray Boy, clippity-clop, 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 and get to the top of the hill there by the beer tree. And there was Ernie stalled. And you can see it coming. So I rode up there, clippity-clop, and said, what's wrong, Aaron? And he muttered something. He said, well, better get a horse, Aaron. And another little thing that Ernie did for me and so forth like that. We were down visiting, and the folks having a little bit of beer with him. And then he says, okay, Jerry, you're kind of young and limber and things like that. They got a little trick for you to do. And now what you want you to do is he's going to get on all fours. Okay, Sam, is it by the wall now? Okay, now then put your right hand on the wall. Okay, now put your left knee on the wall and put your head to the wall and repeat after me. Do you suppose, and I suppose, your hind end's higher than your nose? Never forgot it, obviously.
I don't know. There's a whole lot of stories, and I'm sure a lot of them will pop up after.
Mm-hmm.
After you're gone. We can always call you and say, oh, we got
actually,
another story.
If it's okay with you, I'd like to come back.
Oh, sure.
I'll do this again. What I like to do is I like to go over the tape.
Yeah, and edit things.
And not necessarily edit, just find what I'm missing, mm-hmm. or parts that don't quite make sense to
mm-hmm.
me.
Sure.
Things mm-hmm.
Very good.
Come back to the list. And
sure.
Yeah, whatever.
And then, yeah, think of anything else that you
Well, we'll have to think of some of the stories Dad used to tell about. Yeah.
Well, of course, you mentioned the beer tree. That was pretty years. Ernie had a beer license.
Mm-hmm.
And you'd come up, that's Yeoman Road, is it? Yeah.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
So you'd come up to the top of Yeoman Road, and that's about as far as people could get that had that urge. And so they stopped there on the big fir tree there on the right-hand side going up the hill. And
they relieved themselves.
And have a beer and before they had to go home to Mama.
That's funny. Do you guys remember, I can't remember the guy's name, was it Lork? Something, I don't know, but he Do you guys remember stories about the still?
And oh,
the
river?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
On the south end of the island?
Yeah. Well, it was always reported, and I never saw anything, but John Muir was quite a talker. I do remember that. And he occasionally, it was a known fact, overheard by children, such as myself, mm-hmm. that he ran a still. Now, uh-huh. The folks couldn't afford that, so they just made home brew.
Uh-huh.
But it was rumored that he had, made whiskey, and I think also Otto DeWitt made whiskey.
Mm-hmm.
But I never saw it, and I never got close to it to be able to recount any stories about it or know who got drunk or for what reason or how.
Right. Just knew that it existed. And
yeah.
That was it.
Well, I remember the clubhouse dances though.
Yeah.
And the remember the benches he was talking about that were slatted? Those are still benches that were there when we were kids, and they used to have mm-hmm. dances on Saturday night. And I don't remember the music particularly. I think it was probably almost a one-man band or something.
Uh-huh.
Somebody played a piano when there was a violin or something. But the music was not what, when we were kids, was not
important.
What was important was to wait for intermission until they waxed the floor, and they sprinkled these wax flakes,
and
then you take your shoes off and skid like crazy. We all wound up with big bumps on the back of our heads, but that was the best time. But I remember, speaking of the still and that kind of thing, there was always a lot of going outside to the cars and stuff. And I remember,
I'll be back,
yes, and come back. And you don't walk quite as straight as when you went out.
And one of the music, you know, on Larson Road, you know the Deering place.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay. Russ was a drummer for the bands that would come out here.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, Russ was a contemporary of my father's.
Great friends with father. And
yeah.
We still see, you know, the Deering family. Mm-hmm. If they're here, they'll stop over.
Isabel, the wife, is still alive.
She's at Narrows Glen.
Mm-hmm.
And she's 80-something, 85,
80,
oh, 90, okay, yes, you're right, 94?
90-something, I think she was the kid of the coup.
Yeah, but they're still on the property, I mean, it's still in the family.
So how often would the clubhouse have their dances, and who?
About once a month, wasn't it?
And who would attend? And
everybody and anybody, and of course they didn't have babysitters at mm-hmm. that time, so they just hauled us kids along. And we got tired, they'd plop us down on the benches, throw a coat over us, and we'd sleep until it was time to go home.
Wow.
And they had little snacks on occasion and so forth like that. That's where Gail and I first learned to eat black olives.
Yes, and to do the schottische. When we were real small.
A lot of Scandinavian dances.
And I remember learning.
Schottische and polka and circle two-step.
Yeah.
Wow.
And, you know, we kids would try it.
Uh-huh.
Just by watching them for a while, and then we decided we had to try.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's great. That's fun.
But it was fun. And I remember, let's see, I sort of remember women's club meetings.
Mm-hmm.
When I would come out here, Jerry's mom would, like, take us both to the women's club meeting.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember that my adopted mother attended, but I think maybe your grandmother did.
Yeah, I'm sure both of them did. And I think I scooted out, and I think they probably took you.
Well, I have a picture of both of us at one of them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, speaking of that, there, Frank Hicks has it, and that is a picture of his mother and my mother on the steps of the clubhouse, and not long after it was built. And I think we each are probably 18 months old or so.
Oh, no, we were two.
No, I mean Frank and I.
Oh, you and Frank. Oh, okay.
There's the two mothers.
Wow.
holding Frank and I. And I hadn't seen Frank until after I retired.
Wow, that's neato.
Mm-hmm.
That's really great. Well, then, are we ready to stop for now?
Whatever.
Sure.
If you have questions, we're out of stories for the time being.
Okay. Well.